You know what I love? Money. You know what I hate? The government. And unfortunately for me, the government controls the money. You know, the whole fiat currency deal where there's nothing backing the currency except for, trust me, bro. Well, lucky for me and for you, if you're in the same spot as me, there's a solution. Cryptocurrency. A currency that is like a fiat currency, but without the government backing. Which is good. Yeah, it's a good thing. Because we get to have money without the government saying anything about it. But is that actually a good thing? Or are we gaslighting ourselves into believing that we can trust strange men on the internet telling us to buy their financial supplements? On this episode of Why Are You Talking About This? Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Wait At. I am your host, William, and I will be your guide through the world of internet scams today. I mean, crypto. Yeah, you can probably tell where this is going. But before we talk about that, I just want to thank you so much for listening. It means the world that my voice is crashing through your brain, like all of my crypto purchases from 2020 keep crashing through the floor. No, I'm not bitter. Not at all. Definitely not. So for updates, same old with keeping up with my friends and supporting them wherever you can. Also, I've been getting a metric titload of spam emails, so I think that's a sign of something. Not something good, probably, but something at least. But anyways, I'm also thinking about doing something a bit lighter as a bonus show, on recommendation from my girlfriend, so please let me know what would interest you for me to cover on that. It's going to be essentially zero research and just me talking, but let me know. Also, I'm looking for some escape from my job prison, so yes, please make sure to share the show with your friends, family, and most hated enemies. It would really help me and mean the world. Let's get to the show. Okay, so as a preface and being entirely honest with you guys, I don't fully understand what in the fuck any of this is. I try my best with the research and to understand, but when it comes to computers, most stuff is in one ear and out the other. I barely understand how to use basic UI functions, and whenever a command prompt window opens up, I have a panic attack. So, trust me, a lot of this is way over my head. But I've tried to find explanations and explain as best as I can. So, let's start with the very basics. What is cryptocurrency? Well, a cryptocurrency is a form of currency that exists virtually and uses cryptography to keep transactions secure and exists as digital entries on an online database. And by design, crypto is a decentralized form of currency usable by anyone without government interference, from production of units to distribution to spending. Which sounds good, right? And sure, in a cosmic sort of way, but when you think about even the first practical parts of it, it starts to fall apart. But before we get to that, let's explain some of the words that we just used and why it happens. So first, cryptographic systems. A cryptographic system is a system that ensures secure payments without using a third party to vet it. And this can be done through encryption, elliptical curve encryption, which is basically like the key is plotted somewhere in the coordinates of an elliptical curve. Don't ask me to explain how that works. Public-private key pairings and data hashing, which is taking any input and compacting it into a fixed output. And in order to track everything about each individual unit, called a token, something called blockchain is used. This technology are interconnected blocks of information on an online decentralized ledger, maintained by a network of computers and server nodes that own a portion of the crypto. Each block has secured data about the current and previous transactions, transaction keys, timestamps, and other necessary information. While that information is, I don't know enough about computers to tell you, but they're there. And when you put these blocks together, they form the chain for each token, which is extremely secure and very, very difficult to forge or falsify, because each block has to be verified from previous nodes before a sale can happen and the chain is updated. And you can also transparently see the blockchain, allowing you to see live transactions, meaning that while things like wallet addresses and trading centers can be hacked and the data stolen, those transactions can still be viewed and tracked, even if the wallet they end up in can't really be linked to an identity. Which, by the way, most of them can't really be linked to anyone's identities, because there's not a whole lot of work they have to put into verifying who you are to open up a crypto wallet. But if you're thinking that this sounds very useful for a wide variety of systems and industries, you'd be right. Are they being used for those things? Inconclusive. I'd like to say yes, but we have 44 episodes of the show, so my hope for that being the case is very, very low. Regardless, it's most famously known for its use in crypto. But how does this actually work? Well, let's say that you buy a Bitcoin. You set in motion a series of events. Once the purchase clears, that transaction data is sent to the memory pool that is queued up in a peer-to-peer computer network scattered across the world. Then, those computers solve a series of equations to confirm if the transaction is valid, getting a bit of a kickback in return, which is what crypto mining is. If it's confirmed valid, the transactions are then clustered into blocks and chained together to create the transaction history before the ownership transitions to your crypto wallet. Now, did I get all of that? I think. But if I didn't, I'll never know. Again, computer stuff is in one ear and right out the other. But there are also 5 types of cryptocurrencies made for different tasks on their blockchain. The first are utility tokens, which are tokens native to the platform they're created on and are meant to incentivize participation on the platform while keeping it secure from fraud, and are often used as in-platform rewards or currencies, which would be stuff like in-game currencies that are blockchained. Second are transactional coins, made to be a payment method, like Bitcoin. Third are governance tokens, meant to represent votes and liberties on the platform they're made for. So, for example, if on your website higher investors are able to vote more times on the project's direction, you can use governance tokens. Fourth are platform tokens, meant to support applications that use the blockchain. Basically meaning that the system runs because it works on the blockchain, these are the tokens that are traded to facilitate that. And finally are security tokens, which are meant to represent the ownership of an asset, which is used for stocks or NFTs. Yeah, this is the one that the potentially Nazi apes were using. Also, this one is, like, close to dead because of NFTs. NFTs were a mistake. That's why God doesn't like us anymore. Okay, but now that we're through the basics, we should ask a very important question. Are cryptocurrencies legal? Well, yes. No. Kinda, maybe. Because throughout most of the world, it's kind of unclear. In a lot of places like the US, they're considered financial assets and property. But in other places, they're considered income. While in others, they're considered literal hunks of shit. But regardless, there's a lot of questions about the legality of crypto. But just to make sure that we have a full understanding, where does it come from? Well, you see, when a daddy computer loves a mommy computer, they rapidly insert and pull out their USB cable over and over again until he busts a fat load of data inside of her. Okay, obviously not, but it's through the process of crypto mining that we talked about earlier. Through a very energy-intensive equation-solving process, to maintain the blockchain and contribute to the network, your computer gets a kickback of crypto, which is a pretty genius way of maintaining the system. However, over the last few years, cryptocurrencies have been plagued by scams and get-rich-quick schemes, which I know is saying scams twice, but still. And the terms for these practices are shitcoins and rug pulls. And if you've been around crypto for any length of time, you've seen these. A shitcoin is a crypto that's unsuccessful, newly founded, or isn't designed for a purpose. Usually these are styled after memes or current trends and zeitgeist. You know, like, you remember the Hawk to a girl? Yeah, in addition to her podcast collapsing, she had a shitcoin. This is why, if you are famous for being a lolcow, you don't bank on that lasting forever. I gotta make an episode on lolcows at some point. Anyways, and there's websites you can mint these shitcoins. And for most people making these, it's in the hope of making a lot of money in the future, either from people investing in it and it becomes the next big thing, or alternatively, through being a rug pull, which is a scam where someone uses the allure of investing into something to make you rich to trick people into buying it. And when enough money is invested, the person running the rug pull sells their shares, essentially stealing all that money, flooding the market, and setting the price to zero and leaving their victim with nothing. Which is somehow still not technically illegal, but I don't know how. But how do you avoid these? Well, one, don't invest in a cryptocurrency called Cumbelch, for one, but also don't get in on the ground floor of these things. And you should be doing your research into the owners. Are they trustworthy and reliable? Do they have a good track record, and are they identifiable? Are they well known and generally successful in the crypto space? How widely used is it? Also, do the same for all their backers. If the backers and founders are unknown, it's not widespread or traded in a lot of places, and or it's brand new, don't fucking buy it. Okay. So let's go to the history for a bit before we talk about some of the issues and benefits of crypto. Alright, this is going to be a quick one. As you might imagine, this is a very, very new thing. Well, relatively. Because unlike normal, we're starting in the 1980s rather than ancient Rome or Egypt or some shit. The 80s is when we first begin to see virtual currencies. And from the 80s to early 2000s, these virtual currencies and early secure electronic systems are created for things like money exchanges, online gaming and gambling, and investments. And all of that changed in 2008. No, not when the housing market crashed, but when a person going by the name Satoshi Nakamoto publishes a scientific paper on Bitcoin, presenting the concept and informing the wider world about the idea of blockchain. Also, we have zero idea who this person is because it's a pseudonym. One that, when you look in the meaning of, means something along the lines of clever and central origin. Which, if you use your English degree brain and connect dots and symbolism that probably isn't there, that does definitely sound like a pseudonym. Also, on October 31st of the same year, the website domain for Bitcoin was registered. And by 2009, Bitcoin goes public, and Satoshi mined the first 50. However, this wasn't a get-rich-quick scheme, as within the first few years of Bitcoin's existence, it was essentially worthless, with people mostly buying them as a weird little quirky thing or something cool to have. Or for donations and buying small things. Like how the very first transaction done with Bitcoin was made by software developer Laszlo Hanyx. I'm going to apologize, Laszlo. I do not know how to pronounce your last name. Who traded 10,000 Bitcoins for two pizzas. A choice that, for some reason, he doesn't claim to regret. Let me tell you, I would regret the fuck out of that. If I lost that amount of money, if I paid that amount of money for two pizzas and lost out on that insane amount of money, I'm not sure all the people in the world could hold me back from that bridge, let me tell you. By 2011, a bunch of altcoins were being produced, meant to improve on some aspects of Bitcoin. Which, I'm not going to get into that. If you know crypto and you're going to correct me, you already know. I will, if you politely tell me what they were, I will add it into the next episode. Okay, but crypto wouldn't really break out of the niche tech bro sphere until 2013. when Bitcoin surged in price to over $1,000 before crashing again. Which, while it did cause a lot of short-term negative press, did get the word out about it. But we're not done with the negative press quite yet, because in January 2014, the biggest crypto exchange at the time, Mt. Gox, got hacked. For how much, you might ask? 850,000 bitcoins, which in today's money is about $75 billion. Yeah, I bet whoever took that is shitting their dick right now. Unless they're smart and they didn't keep that. But, you know, that's been unsolved to this day. And by November, the founder of the site Silk Road was sentenced to life in prison. Why? Well, because it's a drug trafficking site that used Bitcoin for its primary currency. And this combo of things made a lot of normal people extremely critical and skeptical of cryptocurrency in general, seeing it as criminal. However, as things tend to do, by the next year, they flip, because of the 2015 and 2016 altcoin boom, where tons and tons of new cryptocurrencies are minted and begin to skyrocket in price, and Ethereum introduces the ability to host multiple currencies on the same platform and in the same wallet. Ethereum would also later become its own cryptocurrency. And by 2017, Bitcoin prices surged to $20,000. And right when everyone is investing and crypto is skyrocketing, something happens. In 2018, without a warning, the bubble bursts, which tanks crypto and turns basically all crypto except Bitcoin absolutely entirely worthless. Which is basically where we are now, with coins getting small bumps in value before something happens that crashes the price again. And then also in 2021, there was another huge surge in prices, but really only crypto is consistently going up. So let's talk about where things are now. Okay, so rather than running down a list of shitcoins and their value and the current state of the market, we're going to discuss the good and bad of crypto and some ownership stats. So what's the good side? Well, first, they remove single failure points from the equation for money exchanges, since it's direct and doesn't include financial institutions. Basically, since it's a direct transfer, there's no real red tape to get through. It's also easier to transfer, with fewer people seeing it, and it removes third parties entirely from your transaction. Also, you can use it as an intermediate currency, trading crypto and pulling your money out for a more accurate and in-your-favor currency exchange. Like if you buy one Bitcoin in USD and then sell in pounds to transfer your money to pounds. Also, you can trade them like stocks, and while volatile, a lot of cryptocurrencies trend upwards. At least the well-established ones, making them pretty decent long-term investments. At least, assuming you're not a financial expert. They don't recommend that. Now, crypto can also serve to be passive income, because of the practice of crypto staking, where you use your own crypto to verify the blockchain's legitimacy. Essentially, you're making your crypto help the blockchain to operate smoothly, so you get a kickback. And also, on the social justice side, crypto can be used by people traditionally ignored or underserved by financial institutions to gain wealth. Because as much as some of us try to deny it, the banking industry is more than kind of racist and sexist at times. So that all sounds well and good. But if you're listening to this, you're probably at least a little bit skeptical, right? Well, there's downsides too. First, transactions aren't actually anonymous. They're pseudonymous. They leave a digital trail, like incognito mode. Yeah, your search history incognito is tracked by Google. They just don't let anyone on the front end see it or give websites access to you outside of incognito. Unless you pay them a good amount of money. In that case, you can see like other people's incognito stuff. But because it's untraceable in a similar way to incognito, it's pretty easily used for criminal uses. And while it's advertised as decentralized, that also isn't really true. Because currency requires someone saying it has value. So instead of being publicly centralized in value, it's privately centralized in the companies and organizations that control the minting and trading markets, which isn't good. I can't believe I have to say it, but that's not good. Unfortunately, it's also very expensive to get into crypto, and it's very volatile, even though it usually trends up. Meaning it's really only a good investment if you're insanely lucky or very wealthy and very dumb. In which case, oh boy, do I have a Cash App for you. Now, this volatility makes people looking at short-term investments uninterested, and the wild value shifts kind of undermine the whole point of cryptocurrency, since it's supposed to, you know, empower people to use alternative currencies. It's also environmentally a fucking nightmare because it draws a fuckload of power to mine and upkeep, with Bitcoin mining consuming double the power of all residential lighting in the US each year, and mining operations browning out power grids worldwide and causing immense environmental damage from creating such a demand for increased power. Also, there's a lot of non-blockchain security issues. Exchanges and wallets can be hacked super easily. So much so, in fact, that there's people with essentially zero hacking experience who do it pretty consistently. And most crypto projects haven't even been tested or verified, and the technology behind crypto isn't being used to its full potential. But finally, governments haven't really figured out what to do or how to respond to crypto yet. So there's great odds it'll either be too heavily restricted or not restricted enough, which again, adds volatility and might also make you a criminal. And those cons are very, very hefty, especially when considering the pros, because to me, they don't really even out or match in a way that matters. But they seem appealing when you only hear the pros, and like a really bad idea when you only hear the cons. When you hear both, it just sounds like an unnecessary risk or like just entirely worthless. So who's buying it? Well, unfortunately, there's not a lot of freely available information on that. At least without like polling people directly. But I was able to find the places of origin of owners. And that there's about 560 million different crypto wallets. Which is probably about 560 million different owners. Maybe, probably not. Anyways, the highest number of owners come from the UAE and Singapore, respectively, being 25.3% and 24.4% of owners, which is practically half of all owners come from those two countries alone. Turkey is next, and Argentina, Thailand, Brazil, Vietnam, the US, Saudi Arabia, and finally, Malaysia. All of which don't get over the 20% mark. Now, what do all of these places have in common? Come on now. It's not that hard. You can do it. See, I'll even give you a second. Okay, no, it's not the generally sketchy treatment of their own citizens and backsliding human rights. No, it's that all these nations have very high income, weird wealth distribution, where most of the middle class are still scrounging. Combined with having a very powerful online presence. See, that combination makes it very easy to ignore the bad sides of crypto. Think, it works out well? Well, now you're rich. If it fails? Well, you're not really in a worse place than where you started off. So, then if we can't really stop people from investing, how can we address the issues? Let's talk about that. Okay, so I kind of lied to you, because before we talk about ways to fix things, we gotta discuss some of the ways people feel about these projects. So, of the people in the US that have crypto, the majority of them are men. Which shouldn't really be all that surprising, with 25% of men in the US having crypto. And people 18 to 29 being 29% of buyers, and 30 to 45 being another quarter of all buyers. Now, in the US, while 23% of people in the highest brackets have had crypto compared to only 18% of the middle class, when you ask if they still have some, people in the middle income bracket say yes 67% of the time, compared to upper income at 64%. Of course, the difference between these are not very significant. It does signify that there's a bit more hope and stubbornness that crypto can make you rich rather than being a good investment. But this begs the question. how confident are people in their crypto? Well, only 1% are extremely confident, and 4% are very confident. 33% of people aren't very confident, and 30% have no confidence at all that this will work, which isn't helped by the success stats, with 37% of people with crypto seeing it perform as expected, which is to say, poorly. And 38% saw it perform worse than expected, and 4% were too ashamed to admit that they were wrong and said they weren't sure if their investments were successful or not yet. Those are the people falling for rug pulls every time, by the way. But, okay, how do we fix crypto and stabilize it or turn it into a good way to make investments and also just be fucking normal for once? Well, we can break those solutions down into three categories. First is education and awareness. We need to teach people how crypto and the blockchain work. And while this episode is a good foot in the door, I barely know what the fuck I'm saying. I'm not an authority on this. But the more we understand, the more we can use the blockchain for something that's actually useful. And we should also be promoting responsible investing in crypto. Because if you're going to go for it for quick wealth, you're going to get scammed. And the transparency of crypto needs to be buffed up with easier access to risk information and history of different currencies and platforms selling them. Because, as things are right now, it's very, very hard to find that stuff. Second is regulation and legality. Governing bodies need to define the legal status and tax framework for crypto. Especially internationally, there needs to be an agreement on what the fuck this is. Which, yes, given how the world is right now, doesn't sound very viable, but still. There also needs to be some kind of compliance standard set, probably into the blockchain itself. But right now, the only standard is transaction, including fucking theft. And because it's so easily transferred, crypto gets used for fraud and tax evasion a lot, meaning once again, we need cross-border collaboration to prevent it. And finally, this is one that falls on you personally. Risk management. Everyone buying in needs to do their part in making sure crypto isn't nearly as scummy. Meaning, yes, putting down that tablet you're using create a shitcoin rug pull. And while you're at it, make one for me. But really, everyone should be diversifying their investments using secure wallets and trustworthy trading platforms that have a lot riding on their trustworthiness. And keep your head on tight and make sure to check to see if something is a scam or fake investment. And if you're being scammed, don't be toxic and let it affect how you perceive people by bottling it up and using it as a fuel source. Instead, report it immediately. And stay up to date on market trends and investments. All of that will help you in the long run to make smarter choices. Okay, let's go to the soapbox. So, definitely a lot less of an issue-heavy episode and more of an educational one. The full transparency, I plan to do this episode before the most recent crypto crashes, so this was going to be a doomer episode where I told you, like, hey, get your money out now, it's gonna crash. But, you know, that didn't happen. So, what do I think about crypto? Well, despite what you might be expecting, I'm not gonna call you stupid for investing, because then I'd be calling myself stupid. Yep, that's right, I invested in crypto. I still have some, in fact. But I went in knowing it was stupid. But I was drawn in by the allure of doing this one simple trick and getting rich off of it and making all the doctors hate me. And I figured that because the internet and meme culture is cyclical, that it'd make sense to buy into memes. Which ones? Sheep and Doge, which... Okay, considering once again how the world is going is more and more fucking asinine and stupid every day, but I couldn't have known at the time. But honestly, I don't think the future will include crypto, because sure, it's advertised as a different form of currency, but it's not actually how it's used. Cryptocurrencies use as a way to get immensely and insanely rich or to pull off scams, and it's started to pull away from its origins of private currency, which, in my opinion, is a bad idea to begin with. Again, I don't hate crypto, I just think we're not being honest or realistic. Blockchain technology is a fantastic idea, but we're never going to use it for anything actually useful because of this. And cryptocurrencies are going to become the money of the future. Because people are fickle and panicky, and that makes anything that survives on public opinion very, very shaky. I mean, think. Why do you think memes die? Why do you think content creators branch out to try to stay relevant? Why do you think so many online fad companies are going under right now? Because people jump from one thing to another extremely fast and have low attention spans. On the internet, especially. So what does that mean for the internet-bound, bureaucracy-free, court of public opinion-dependent crypto? Yep, it's always going to be volatile. It's always going to be a get-rich-quick scheme. It's always going to be stupid to buy. And guess what? I'm one of those morons contributing to the problem, too. Let's go home. Why did that feel hopeful when it clearly wasn't? Maybe something about me being a dumbass? I don't know. Anyways, if you have opinions, advice on how to make the show better, why your investments will pan out, your wall of fell for it again awards, your opinions, and really anything else you want to tell me, make sure to email me at waytappods@gmail.com. That's waytappods@gmail.com. Remember to check out my other podcast, Waytad Nerd, where I do basically the same thing, but with nerd topics like fantasy, sci-fi, role-playing games, etc., where I hope you like the topic just as much. And also remember to follow me on Twitter and Blue Sky at waytappods for more episode announcements. Have a good night, don't murder, have fun, and remember, stupid is only stupid until it works. Then, it's genius. This has been Why Are You Talking About This? I've been your host, William. Good night.